Good God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. If you got your Bibles, open them up to the book of 1 Peter.
Thank you. That was fantastic.
First Peter, first chapter. Last week, we were dealing with being a victim to our circumstances and our situations and our problems. Well, today we're going to deal with being a victim again, but being a victim to our emotions and to our feelings. I don't know about you, but I have been a victim to a whole lot of that. I have been a victim, just slain and wiped out, feeling sorry for myself. Dear God, you said you put no more on me than what I could bear, and never hearing God give me an answer. So evidently, he must have figured that his word was more than enough than I needed to understand that I can bear it. You'd be amazed at what you can bear. Think about what you've already went through and made it. So evidently, there's a whole lot more that you can deal with. But because we become victims to our emotions, we turn the situation, we can turn an anthill into a mountain. How many hear me?
Yes.
Amen. We can turn a rainstorm into a thunderstorm. We can turn a flurry into a blizzard. Being a victim to our emotions and our feelings, we will allow our emotions and feelings to get to have their way in our lives, to dictate to us, to control us, to sway us, to lead us, to guide us, to mess us up, to make us miss out on what God has for us, to make us miss out on what God has promised us, take us down places, take us in areas that we don't want to be in, try to take us out of the light into the darkness, take us out of the blessing into the curse, take us in all these different places because we get caught up and we become victims to how we feel and what we think. When the word of God says, when Satan tried to tempt Jesus, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So we can't live by ourselves or according to our feelings or according to our emotions, but we have to live according to the word of God, by the words that proceeded out of the mouth of God. What is the mouth of God? This Bible. This Bible is the mouth of God, and every word that proceeded out of it is for our health, for our well-being, for our strength, for our joy, for our peace, for our faith, for our long-suffering, for everything that we need, for our mercy, for our understanding, for our wisdom is in this Bible. We're trying to find it in every other place, but it's in this Bible. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, look at the sixth verse. Wherein ye greatly rejoice through now for a season, if it need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found to the praise and honor and the glory and the appearing of Jesus Christ, which is so important. That used to be one of Pastor Hart's favorite verses, used to drive me absolutely crazy. Every time he thought I was going through something, his way of encouragement was saying, don't worry, the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. I say, you ain't in this trial. You're not experiencing this difficulty. You're not going through these circumstances. You're not feeling what I'm feeling. One day he answered me back. He said, thank God. I said, that wasn't nice, Pastor. He said, no, but it's the truth. How would you like to feel some of the things I've had to feel? I said, I don't think I would. But what this telling us is that we greatly rejoice, because it's only for a season. And you have to convince your mindset that it's for a season and that it's not unto death. How many understand? It's not unto death. It will not destroy you. It will not allow you to make you miss out on what God has for you. But we've got to get control. We cannot keep allowing ourselves to be a victim to what we feel and how we experience things. Because when you allow yourself to become a victim, what you fail to do is greatly rejoice. And the moment we stop greatly rejoicing, everything that is going on in our lives has the ability to exhort itself or make itself bigger or make itself seem stronger or make itself have more authority than what it actually has. So what we need to do is what I've been doing. I've been telling myself I'm not going to be moved, Elder Paulette, by my emotions. I'm going to do all I can to keep them in check. And then God said, well, that's your problem. You say you're going to do all you can. You can't do it. But through me, you can do all things. See, that's where we mess it up. I'm going to do this. You're not going to get nothing done. You're going to climb out of a pole and jump yourself into a pit. Trying to figure this thing out for yourself. Because you have become a victim to how you feel, what you think, and what your emotions are telling you. What got Adam and Eve in trouble in the garden was their senses. Was their feelings. See, what we fail to realize that Satan gave them the word, but it wasn't God's word. Because they felt like they felt and imagined like they imagined and rationalizing their emotions like they did. And that's what we do. We rationalize in our emotions, in our mindset. That's why the Bible says cast down every imagination. Imagination is translated reasoning, because we reason within ourselves. Well, I must be going through this because of that, or I must be feeling this because of that, or I must be sick because this happened, or I must not have the monies I need because of that. That's our emotions and our feelings trying to run our lives. Instead, it says greatly rejoice. Paul said, I count it all joy. I'm working on that one too. But evidently, he realized something that I haven't. He must have understood something because he spent more time in jail than I have. Thank God. He's been scantily clothed more than I have. Thank God. He was beaten more than I've been beaten. Thank the Lord. He's been thrown out of more cities than I've never been thrown out of a city. I've been thrown out of a few houses, but not a city. How many understand? But he said, greatly rejoice. Why? Because he says you have to bring all of your mindset, your emotions, and your feeling under subjection to the power of God and God's word. There is nothing that you cannot make it through if you control your feelings. There is nothing that you cannot withstand if you get control over your emotions. Your emotions are your senses and your feelings and your smell and what you see. And that's why the Bible attacks everything that deals with the senses. He that has an ear, hear what the Spirit has to say unto him. We don't live by sight, but we live by faith. These things, you know, the talk in Psalms talks about the tongue being a very violent and rude thing. It talks about all these things that control us, that seeks to destroy us. That's why Jesus told Satan, you trying to affect my emotions and my feelings with all this stuff that you're promising me, but you can't promise me something that's already mine. And your flesh and Satan is promising you stuff that already belongs to you. But if you don't believe it, then it's not yours. many understand? Somebody ever gave you something and you didn't believe that they were giving it to you? And they said, give it back then. Give it back. You don't want it. Give it back. And it clicked in your mind just to say, hey, wait a minute. No, it's mine. I take it. Well, God already did it for us. So why don't we just hold on to it and run this race the way God intended for us to run it? With patience. Emotions won't let you have patience. How many understand? So, in the heaviness, through all the trials and the tribulation and the situations that we go through, our emotions and our feelings get overwhelmed. My God, I don't know about you, but I have been really overwhelmed. And I got this chair in my office and it squeaks. You know, when you rock, it's real comfortable, but it's, every time you go back, you go, and they keep trying to get me to oil it. And every time I think about oiling it, I get overwhelmed about something. And when I get overwhelmed, out normal, I sit there in that chair and I listen to that thing squeak. I rock on purpose just to hear it squeak. Because what I found out, it distracts me from whatever it is that's overwhelming me. Well, God say, why don't you stop listening to the squeak of that chair and listen to my word? He said, that'd be so much easier, because God said, I'm tired of listening to the squeak too. So with everything that we go through, we get so overwhelmed. Everything becomes so overbearing. We feel so weighted down, so hurt, so distraught, so beat up, so discouraged, so unhappy, because everything just seems to hit us all at one time. There was a time when I was coming up in the church, well, maybe 1 month you might have a financial difficulty, that will go away. The next month you have some kind of sickness, you deal with that. The next month you will go through some persecution. The next month you have some kind of affliction. But now that God is manifesting himself in us and through us, now you have it all at the same time. And your emotions get overwhelmed because they can't handle that, because you're used to stuff happening at a certain time. But the problem is, we've been told once you give your heart and life to God, everything's going to be hunky-dory. You're going to be floating through life happy all the time. When folks get saved around me, I say, get ready for fight. Get ready to fight. But there ain't nothing you can't do through Christ. We cannot do it in ourselves. And I find out, when I hear folks say stuff and I hear the word I step back. Because God don't have nothing to do with I but the middle letter in sin. So with all these temptations, he said the trial of your faith, meaning your faith is going to be tested. What is your faith can't be seen? Your faith can't. And see, another thing we forget, that Jesus already, we have somebody, a high priest, who was already touched with the feelings. How many hear me? He was already touched with our feelings. So we don't have to feel to a place where we allow it to separate us from him. So all we've got to do is go to our high priest. I'm tired of this, God. Here it is. But then, excuse me, then we get halfway up the aisle and say, well, you know what? Wait a minute. Something missing. I got to go back and get it. We'll run back down to the altar when nobody's looking and pick it back up. Or a lot of times we have it on a big rubber band. We have it attached to us. So by the time we get to where we just about we get up the aisle, we let go and they go. But we have to control these things that are trying to keep us. See, the enemy knows that if he can control your feelings, your emotions, you won't give God no praise. You won't exhort him. You won't do what you need to do, which is ministry. Ministry is a dying thing in the earth. It has become all about us and what we can accomplish and not what you can do. That's because we've gotten so caught up in emotionalisms and our feelings. We can get overwhelmed by a whole lot. But you can't allow what you feel and what you think and what you experience to stop you from doing what God has called or ordained you to do. You're going to be tried. But what you'll find out is that it's more precious than gold. Though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto the praise and honor of God. You'll find out that when you don't walk according to your feelings or your emotions, that you still have the ability to praise him. Now, don't get me wrong. We're still human. And we're still going to feel things. And we're going to be emotional about some things. But don't let it control you to the point where you get to the place where you don't want to serve God. You don't want to praise him. You don't want to pay tithe. You don't want to give offering. You don't want to go to church. Most of the time, our emotions is what stops us from going to church. What we feel stops us from going to church. God has called you to something great and to something powerful. God has anointed you, gave you ministry beyond measure. But only you have the authority that God has given in you to arrive at your destination. You can hear all the words you want to hear. It don't make a difference. You can hear a word that make you feel like your feet are floating off the floor. But it don't mean nothing because they got to get back on the floor because you got to walk up out of here. You have got to bring yourself under subjection to the power of God. That's why the word of God says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It was a mind of humility and a mind of submissiveness to his Father. He dealt with emotions. That's why when he was in the garden, he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Because he got caught up in his humanized, his human's part of him, which was concerned and felt sorry and felt hurt and felt left alone and deserted. But he brought all that under subjection to what? To the word of God. He remembered what he said. He said, but Father, I remember that we shall not live by bread alone, but we shall live by every word that proceeded out of your mouth. So Father, I'm going to live by your word. Therefore, not my will be done, but your will be done. What he said was, I will not live by the way I feel today. I will not go by the way what I'm experiencing. I will not allow my emotions to separate me from what I already know what I got to do. And what he knew what he had to do, what he had to die for, ungrateful people that didn't care, that wanted to kill him, that thought he was nothing, that thought he was useless, but he realized in his spirit, I still got to die. I can't allow my feelings not to let me do the work that I've been called to do. I can't allow my emotions not to let me do the calling that's on my life. If God called me to sacrifice myself, then that's what I got to do. The word of God says, present yourself a living sacrifice, which is wholly acceptable, which is your reasonable service, which means it's something that you ought to want to do. But you'll never do it. You'll never obtain what God has placed in your life until you get control over your feelings and your emotions and stop being victim to them. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I don't preach to you nothing that I haven't already experienced because it wouldn't make much sense then. We're preaching stuff that we haven't even experienced. I know what it is to fall prey to your feelings. and fall prey to your emotions. It destroys your praise. It destroys your worship. You no longer have the ability to meditate upon God's word. God could be talking to you, but you don't hear his word because all you hear is what your flesh is telling you. Your flesh tells you to feel sorry for yourself. The flesh tells you nobody loves you. The flesh tells you nobody cares about you. The flesh tells you nobody needs you, but you are needed. You are cared about. You are loved. We need each other to make it and survive. We are the body of Christ. The Bible said, what good is the toes without the foot? What good is the ankle without the leg? What good is the fingers without the hand? What good is the wrist without the arm? We need each other in order to survive. Now, you can make it without toes, and you can make it without eyes, and you can make it without ears, and you can make it without everything. But if you don't have that stuff, but you got your brothers and your sisters in God, you are still whole. But you can't allow your emotions and your feelings to rule you. We might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus. See, folks think that's what we're talking about when Jesus busts through come through the eastern sky. But the appearing means to make manifest. When Jesus appears in you, because you're going through hell, but you can still encourage somebody. You don't feel like praising, but you're still praising. You don't feel like trying to encourage anybody, but you do it anyway. You don't feel like praying for the sick, but you pray anyway. You don't feel like studying, but you study anyway. There's no praise nowhere in your spirit, but you offer up a sacrifice of praise. You don't feel like worshiping God, but you do it anyway. Why? Because you've taken authority over your feelings. You've taken authority over your emotions. And you're doing what you know the word of God tells you to do. And when you do what the word tells you to do, then you can expect God to move for you. I don't care what kind of storm you may be in. I don't care what kind of trouble you may be in. I don't know what kind of hurt you may have. I don't know what kind of discouragement you might have. God will move for you. And he won't move on the outside, but he'll move in the inside of you. That's because you're kept by the power of God. You're kept by the deliverance of God. You're kept by the healing of God. You're kept by the miracle power of God. You are kept by God's anointing, which destroys every yoke. So you've got to praise him in the midst of your storm. You've got to bring your flesh and your mindset under subjection to the word of God and say, Father, I don't feel like praising you, but I offer you a sacrifice of praise. Father, I don't feel like going to church, but I'm going anyway. Father, I can't afford to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I don't feel like studying, but I'm going to study anyway. I don't feel like praying, but I'm going to do it anyway. Whatever you don't feel like doing that lifts up the name of Jesus, do it anyway. That way your emotions and your feelings don't control what you do for God. Stop being a victim to your feelings and to your emotions. Everyone stand. Hello. Don't y'all love it that I don't preach real long? There's a reason for my madness, because I preach myself tired.
There are many voices in the land, but heed to my voice. Bible says, try the spirit. My word says, try the spirit by the spirit. Try the spirit. Try your own spirit by the word of God to see whether ye measure up to the standard that I have placed within you. For there is another voice, and that is the voice of death. That is the voice of the other, the one called Adam, the one who will lead you and guide you into destruction. He is emotion. He is feeling. But I am come that ye might have life. He is death. I am life. I have come for abundance, to give you abundance. I have come to give you favor. I have come to heal you. I have come to set you free. I have come to lead you through your trials. Even as I led the children of Israel through the waters, even as I led them through the desert, I was yet with them. In spite of what was going on around them, I covered them. I protected them. And I am the same God. I change not. I am your protector. I am who leads you. I am who guides you. I am there to heal you when you are hurt. I am there to pick you up when you fall down. I am there to encourage you when you are discouraged. But continue to follow after me. Continue to listen to my voice. I am the Lord your God. I am the word of God that which is in your life. And I will heal you, and I will lead you into all truth, and I will lead you into victory, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you for speaking to us and for your word. Lord God, we thank you for your anointing, Lord God, that flows outward and encourages us and strengthens us. Father, we thank you for the power, oh my God, the power that we're kept by, the power of instruction, the power of strength, spirit of joy. Father, we thank you this morning. We glorify you. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 There are so many different theological discussions going on these days that folks are arguing over. As with a bunch of men yesterday, some of them are going to Bible studies or seminars, and they were having discussions that we're all dead. And one of the guys says, "We're not dead. What is he talking about?" I said, "I don't know. Let's wait and hear." He was trying to convince them that we're all dead men walking. This is what he's being taught. So they kept looking at me, and my emotions was going crazy, because my feelings were saying, "You ought to just let this clown have it." But I had to bring another subjection, because if him and I get into it, then those around us that's not saved will say, "What kind of God are they serving that they can't come in agreement?" So I just didn't say anything. But one of the guys walked up to me when I was by myself, and he said, "What is he?" I said, "What he's trying to say is that we're dead in trespasses and sins. And we've all come short or fallen short of the glory of God." I said, "We're not dead men walking, because we've been born again. Us that's been born through the blood of Jesus." I say, "Now, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you might be a dead man. But only you know. We don't have that right." See, the enemy wants to draw you into stuff so that you'll react from your feelings and from your emotions instead of reacting through wisdom and the word of God. Every crazy situation, every problem, every thing that every pit I've created for myself, I've created because of my feelings and through my emotions. Whereas if I had stayed in God and be led by the word and the spirit of God, I would have never been entangled. It's that simple. It don't sound simple, and it ain't when you're in it, but it actually is. Amen. There's some folks that's struggling with some emotions and some feelings because you've been hurt and you've been discouraged and you've been afflicted and you've been persecuted and you've been beat up on, and you beat up on yourself. A lot of times, sister, I don't need nobody to beat up on me. I spend 99.9% of self beating up on myself. Sometimes I feel like I carry a little baseball bat around in my back pocket. When I'm asleep, be knocking myself upside the head, wake up with knots because I done beat myself up over something that Jesus already paid a price for. Amen. So if you're struggling with emotions and feelings this morning, I want you to come stand across this front. We're not going to be very long. We're going to be out of here. Amen.